Hello and welcome back to the Dune Minute Podcast, your place to deep dive minute by minute into the cinematic adaptations of Frank Herbert's Dune. I'm one of your hosts, Zach.
And I'm John.
All right, John. Well, we continue with minute 19 of the movie. This minute begins with a tender moment between friends and ends with an aggressive moment between family. So, yeah, we finish up the...
I mean, it's not wrong. It's just such a way to frame it.
We finish up with some ominous music in the sparring room as Gurney ends his conversation, or is really his speech at Paul.
His yelling at Paul. Yeah.
Then we transition right over to the planet's Gaty Prime. The hardest of cuts. And we're looking at a really wide shot of a big pimple building. I don't know if you had that in your notes or not, but yeah. I was like, the blackhead.
Well, so I got a lot of notes about Gaty Prime.
All right, go for it.
It is the complete opposite of Caladan.
Sure.
You know, if Caladan is all about humanity adapting to nature and living with nature, not necessarily in perfect harmony, but like we talked about with the shot of the Atreides castle looking more like a villa that's kind of like carved into the land, but not necessarily like leveling everything. Right. Gaty Prime is basically just a factory planet.
Industrial city.
Yeah. You
city planet.
You have strange buildings. Like there's one off on the left hand side when we first see Gaty Prime where it looks like just a ball of spikes.
Yeah, I noticed that. I was like, what's that doing over there?
it's like if you made a building out of a curled up hedgehog almost.
Yeah. I thought it was like a sea anemone
sitting over there. Or like a sea urchin.
That's what I meant. Yeah.
But yes, you do have the giant pimple looking building in the front. We see a small ship kind of descending into the top of it.
Yep.
We get another cut scene from the underside of these really cool looking like spirally doors.
Yeah. Doors.
Yeah.
Apertures.
And the ship is kind of descending down into it. And then we see our boy Rabin from a rear shot walking intensely,
very intensely
through hallways and doors that are opening just in time for him to walk through.
Either he's very lucky or he's done this a number of times where he knows
the exact timing and stuff like that. Yeah.
Do you ever do that? Do you ever like walk through those automatic doors and just try to like not have to pause
at the grocery store and stuff?
Yeah. Not have to pause for the door. Yeah. I do that.
Yeah.
Maybe that's just his way of having fun.
I don't think there's a lot of other ways to really have fun in Gaty Prime.
Probably not.
So Gaty Prime is industrialized to hell. Mm-hmm. It is not natural at all at this point.
Absolutely not.
And the sky is black.
Yes. We do not. I think it's just evoking nighttime in this scene. We learn later some different things about the planet, but that's a long way away.
That is Dune Part 2.
Yep. So for all intents and purposes, it looks like it's nighttime right now.
Yes. And looking at Gaty Prime, we understand why the Harkonnens that we see at the very beginning of the movie are, first of all, pale as hell. but secondly, why they have that like kind of bug-like aesthetic to all of their armor and their,
it fits.
Yeah.
It fits right in with the planet.
We see Rabin walking intensely through this hallway, and then we see Marcellus Wallace and the boys, his gimp boys, taking a quick bow to Rabin as he walks in with a large overhead shot of the room with like this white gaseous platform in the middle of
it. Yep. And then we cut to someone who I really enjoy as a character. He's a real piece of shit.
Yeah.
But he's a good character. Peiter de Vries. Yep. So Peiter is the Mentat for the Harkonnens. And we get to see that. It's a show don't tell, because the first time we see him, he's doing that same thing that Through Fear
rolled back in his head. Yeah.
The same thing that Through Fear did when he was calculating how much the ceremony visit was going to cost. So we see Piter doing that same, like, eyes rolling back.
He's got the mark on his lips as well.
Yep. So he is the Mentat for the Harkonnens. Just a little bit of a backstory on Piter. So he was born on the planet Gwandali. And the encyclopedia describes it as kind of a backwater planet, mm-hmm. away from major, like, space travel routes. According to everything that they know, he was loved by his parents. His mother doted on him, but through various reasons, the family ran into financial troubles and had to sell young Piter to the Tlaylaxu, which is a name that I don't think I've mentioned so far in recording this, but we will talk about a lot more going forward. Basically, they are people who create whatever technology, or some of the people that create whatever technology that we see in the Dune universe. Mm-hmm. They are also responsible for creating the Twisted Mentats.
Okay.
So far in the movie, we've met two Mentats. We've met Thufir Hawat.
Yep.
And we've met Piter DeVries. They are not products of the same schooling.
I was going to ask.
Yeah.
Because
they're different.
So they're very clearly the same in their capabilities.
For the most part.
Piter isn't as good at what he is as Thufir is, because I think we talked about how even the Emperor was impressed with Thufir's mm-hmm. Mentat abilities and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I did notice, and I was going to ask too, like, it doesn't seem that there's a, like, standard garb or robe or anything that the Mentats themselves wear.
No. Not that I know of, anyways.
Whereas, like, whenever you see Bene Gesserit, they're always in black, they're always hooded, they're always veiled.
Yeah.
You know, kind of thing, so.
Yeah, I think it's just you get the tattoo on the lips, and then the freaky thing their eyes do whenever they think real hard. I don't think there's any kind of, like, standard uniform for a Mentat.
Are they thinking or are they napping?
I think they're thinking real hard. So Piter is described as a Twisted Mentat, which is basically, it's like a knockoff version of the Mentats, except the thing that, and some people would consider this a advantage, depending on who you ask, they have had their humanity basically stripped away from them.
Okay.
So they show very little empathy. Very little, just like connections to humans. They're very good at killing people. So if Thufir is one thing, Piter is the opposite of that.
Gotcha. So like
equally skilled, but just opposite in kind of like the compassion and the way that they approach different things.
Thufir would look at battle plans, but still also consider, like, civilians that might be affected by those, whereas Piter is just like, fuck it, dude,
kill them all.
Yeah.
Yep. Piter is specifically mentioned in the encyclopedia a few times. They mention that he is uniquely talented in devising new ways of torture and new poisons. So yeah, it's also noted here that all of the things that we've heard about so far, with the Atreides getting control of Arrakis, mm-hmm. The Harkonnens leaving, but seemingly being okay with that to a degree, the concern, like all these things that we've seen being put into motion so far, those are the brainchild of Piter DeVries.
Okay.
So we'll talk more about it as we go through and the plan is uncovered more. This is all kind of his plan that we're going through at the moment. Piter DeVries in the 84 movie is played by Brad Dourif, mm-hmm. which I think is really fun, because he was a really cool character in Lord of the Rings, Wormtongue. equally creepy in that movie.
Yep.
And he's just a creepy actor, a wonderful actor, but plays creepy parts in a lot of the stuff. And he's played in this movie by, I'm going to butcher this, David Dastmalchian.
I don't know how to pronounce it. I'm sorry. Okay. I've seen him in a lot of things. Yeah. He's very good.
Yes.
He's a great actor.
Extremely active. Again, a huge IMDb list.
And I think he not only is a great actor, but he just has like the perfect physicality for Piter.
Yep.
As well. He's very lean, very.
Dostmalchian. David Dostmalchian. I'm going to practice that and I'll say it right. One of these days.
One of these days. But yeah, he does a great job in this. And then we get another cut angle behind where our camera is behind Rabin and behind Piter. And we see through the gases, just a big, fat, naked man.
Just an absolute unit of a person.
And this is Baron Vladimir Harkin.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Played by Stellan Skarsgård. Of course.
Wonderful casting.
Who sat through 8 hours of makeup every day. He would get it.
Surely not. 8 hours?
8 hours.
God almighty.
So in all the like movie extras and stuff, there's a whole like segment on what that process is like. The only like thing that is not truly like covered with cosmetics is Stellan's eyes.
Mm-hmm.
All of his face, all of his, you know, his head, his hands, it's all covered with some degree of prosthetic. They were saying that like he would start his makeup at like 2 a.m.
Good Lord.
And he would be in that suit for an entire day's worth of filming. They had essentially like a, so you know how like astronauts have that water like body sleeve that they slip in to keep them cool? Like he had that, and then goodness, he had like
gracious,
a fat suit on, or like a cloth fat suit, and then over that was the latex fat suit and everything. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was crazy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Dedication.
Denis in all the extras, like, wouldn't stop giving Stellan praise for all of that and for being like so great in that role.
Yeah.
And like not really having any kind of issues.
Well, I mean, if you think back to just another recent show that he's been in, Chernobyl.
Yeah.
It's kind of the same character. I mean, there's a lot of the same mannerisms between that character and then the Baron, at least like the way he talks, the way he's like delivering his lines.
Yeah.
So is this just Stellan Skarsgård in a fat suit? Like it's
maybe. I would like to think that Stellan Skarsgård is not as
a wonderful person.
Yeah. He's a father of I think 8. Yes, so yes. He's very very likely a very loving and great father and
no
everything.
Doubt about that.
Not the cruel, heartless, you know, monster that is Vladimir Harkonnen.
That's so fair. Okay. Well, I'm sorry I drew the connection.
But in this moment, we see, you know, we see Vladimir Harkonnen just kind of like sitting on what looks like just a box, honestly. And Rabin says to the Baron, "Lord Baron, the last of our ships have left Arrakis. It is done. Uncle, how can we let this happen?"
Yep.
So how big is the Harkonnen family? Like, do we know, like, is it just like Rabin's parents are dead and he just like effectively became Vladimir's son? Like, what do we know?
So here? I don't think it's ever like, or at least I've not done the research to truly know. We only really hear about the three. We get the Baron, we get Fade, and then eventually we have the Baron, we have Rabon, and then eventually we get Fade.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm pretty sure that we know, or at least the encyclopedia like tells the fate of Fade and Rabon's parents. I don't know off the top of my head. We'll get to that. I'll do some research and I'll sprinkle it in later.
Sure.
But these are the only three that we really meet for now. Uncle, how can we let this happen?
How can the Emperor, and then the loudest scream,
take.
And I love in that moment,
everyone just jumps a little.
Everyone freaks the fuck out. You see the maiden servants standing there, and like in this moment, you also see their like pitch black eyes and their black teeth and everything. And it looks so cool.
Piter gives a little jump, but he's kind of just looking at him like, I think that's in the next minute. But
you see him jump. And that's literally where the minute ends. Yeah,
okay,
halfway through that sentence. But yeah, it's
I think this shows, this tells us a little bit about Raban. He's impulsive.
Yes.
He is not a smart person.
No.
Because he's like angry. He's like, why is this happening to us? And kind of the same way that Paul was like, what the hell is going on? Like, why are we doing this? And people explained it to him, but he was approaching it a lot more inquisitively. Raban is just like, ah, fuck, why is this guy? He's so impulsive. He doesn't seem like he's a very intelligent person.
Rabin's a wrecking ball.
Yeah.
That's what he is.
Yeah. I took from this, like, he's kind of just exactly what you said. This seems to me like he's a tool or a weapon for the Harkonnens versus like a member of their, I mean, obviously he's a member of the, like the aristocracy, but he's a member of the, not like a member of like their further political, aspirations.
Sure.
He's there to squeeze Arrakis. He's there just to control the planet. So, but wonderful, wonderful yelling from Dave Bautista.
Yes.
So good. I love seeing, I think these are on the part two extras where we get interviews with Dave. Nothing about the extras, but just seeing him in his like big glasses and like a fuzzy like sweater.
Yeah.
It is such a 180.
He's got these like Dolce and Gabbana glasses and like he's got some jewelry and shit on and everything. And it's just the complete opposite.
And just a teddy bear.
Yeah.
So I love his acting, especially in this role. So great casting on the part of the movie.
I remember when we first got like all of the casting and everything, when they first announced who was cast as what back in like 2019 or 2020 or whatever. Seeing that Bautista got that part, I think like, so clearly Bautista and Denis Villeneuve had worked together before with Blade Runner.
Yep.
It was a very small role, but he did such a fucking good job in that.
Sure.
Like, so to see him like continue working with Denis, I would hope that like whatever other projects Denis has in the future, we see Bautista there as well.
Yeah. And actually, he played the alien in Arrival. I don't know if you knew that.
God damn it, Zach.
All right, that's all the notes I had on this minute. anything else from your side?
Nope. We're just living our best life on Gaty Prime right now. So,
all right. Well, that ends this week. John, what'd you think about the week?
All in all, thought it was pretty good. We got the amazing sparring sequence between Gurney Halleck and Paul. We got to see Gaty Prime. We finished out our conversation with Leto and Paul in the graveyard. So I think if I had to give the week some Shai Hulud's, I would say probably, you know, five and a half, maybe even six Shai Hulud's, depending on your personal taste. But sure. I'm sitting in that middle of the pack. We got some really good action sequences. We got a lot of talking, but I'm trying to keep my ratings in check because it's gonna get like really cool later on too.
Yeah.
So,
well, I'm gonna jump above you a little bit. I'm gonna put this at a six for me.
All right, fuck me, man.
Well, just because we're introduced to a lot of characters here. We get a lot of the backstory for this, for that's going to set us up for the entire rest of the movies, you know,
true,
two and three down the road. So, this is an incredibly important section of minutes. So yeah, and they did it wonderfully.
Yeah.
Just, you know, comparing to the equivalent scenes in the book, if there are any, they hit all the points that they needed to hit.
Yep.
For giving us that exposition and the backstory. So yeah, I'm going to go 6 here. We could have got some more action, still a lot of dialogue.
I don't know. The action that we got was good.
Great. It was real good.
It was really good. So,
yeah, great collection of minutes we just walked through.
Yep.
So. All right, cool. Well, let's meet back up next week and we'll continue to go through this wonderful movie.
All righty.
Cool.
See you guys then.
See ya.